let us open this morning's memorial meeting by the singing of hymn number 52. Hymn number 52. Thy goodness, Lord, our souls confess, thy goodness we adore, a spring whose blessings never fail, a sea without a shore. Hymn number 52. Before the word of exhortation, we have chosen to sing hymn number one. Hymn number one from the Psalms. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion great, blot out all mine iniquity. Hymn number one.
Thank you.
I have compassion on these people. They have been with me already 3 days and have nothing to eat. These words that we read yesterday from Mark chapter 8 combine with the care that our master showed to the man whose child had regular fits and convulsions in our chapter from Mark that we've just read. And this theme of compassion is one which is repeatedly presented by our Lord. We should like to use this morning as our focus before we partake of these emblems before us. So what is compassion? One definition describes it as thus: sympathetic. Compassion is pity and concern for the sufferings or the misfortunes of others. Pity, sympathy, feeling empathy. Compassion is understanding, care, concern, sensitivity. Compassion is tender-heartedness, soft-heartedness, warm-heartedness, warmth, love, brotherly love. Compassion is tenderness, gentleness. Compassion is mercy, leniency, tolerance, consideration, kindness, humanity, kind-heartedness, charity, and benevolence. And the opposite, the antonym, is heartlessness and indifference. The word comes from the Latin word compati, which means to suffer with. So compassion is as though our sentiments, our thoughts, our care, our love, our consideration was as though we were suffering with the person or thing or situation that we've witnessed. As we sit here before these emblems of our Lord's love and compassion for us, and as we begin to reflect upon all that he has done for each of us, perhaps we can begin to think how we can do likewise. Show love and compassion almost as a default of what we naturally do rather than a conscious act. What do I mean? Perhaps we can illustrate it with an example. So some of you may recently have seen someone in a street selling something called the Big Issue. You may remember that this was a philanthropic initiative to help homeless people earn an income and retain their dignity. What do we each think when we see one of these sellers? Do we judge them? They're often not British. The state looks after folks like that, don't they? They're not my neighbour. They aren't of the household. They wouldn't come to the meeting. They'll only spend anything I give them on things that are bad for them. Or perhaps we look straight through them. Passing on the other side? I think Jesus gave us a parable about this, didn't he? How would our Lord look on these needy folks that we have no connection with? Can we really walk past them without doing anything? Paul told us in Hebrews 13, verse 2, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. I think we believe generally that everything happens to us for a reason, don't we? So these chance encounters, as I see them, are perhaps prods of conscience, reminders to perhaps test us, to see whether we see them, firstly, and then if we are moved with compassion to do something for them. Now let's look at some examples of our Lord, how he showed compassion, loving his neighbor, whom he didn't know at all, and try to imagine the circumstances that surrounded the situation. Our Lord always appeared to be under pressure in a large tumult with a particular point to prove when he showed this love and compassion to others. So we just give a few examples. Mark 5, verse 19. We read earlier in the week of the curing of the Gadarene demonic so-called legion. In verse 10, legion begged Jesus not to send him away once the demons had been purged from the man. And he entered in, and they entered into the, and had entered into the swine. And the people pleaded with Jesus to leave them. The man begged Jesus in verse 18 that he might stay with the Lord. Note the love and compassion of these Jesus' words. Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he, the Almighty, had compassion on you. A wretched outcast turned in verse 15, sitting and clothed in his right mind. What a transformation. All through the loving compassion of our Lord and his Father. So why do we have this example for us? So that we ignore it, or so that we look for opportunities like it in our own lives, looking for opportunities to show love to the otherwise unloved. In Mark 3, verse 5, second example, we have the man with the withered hand. We read that as Jesus entered the synagogue, Jesus saw a man with a withered hand. And we know that anyone who had an abnormality, whether it be leprous or withering, was concerned to be an outcast and someone that people didn't want to get close to because they might catch something. And that's perhaps very natural. Now, there's no mention of any appeal from this man in the synagogue. Merely our Lord observing his company, his perception was on high alert. Jesus was obviously conscious of being watched closely and chose to use the opportunity to teach a lesson to those with ears to hear and to stun those who did not. In verse 5, we have a glimpse of our Lord's righteous indignation. And when Jesus looked around at them, those who asked whether it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, we read Jesus' words, looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Are our hearts ever hardened away from being compassionate? In Mark 1 verse 31, our third example, after our Lord had cured the man with the unclean spirit, his fame began to spread and started a catalogue of good works and healing, as we read in verse 30 of Mark chapter 1, where Jesus cured Simon's mother of a fever. How our Lord must have loved to help, especially those of his friends. We know that feeling from both sides, perhaps. The giving, we know what feeling we have when we give, and we also know that feeling when we receive of the love, that warmth of goodness in the pit of our stomachs, don't we? In verse 32 of Mark chapter 1, when the sun had set, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. Imagine that. We read the whole city was gathered at his door. Just imagine. We don't know how long he continued, but the next verse states, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, perhaps, what, 4 a.m.? And Jesus went to a solitary place to pray. Let's just read a few verses, verse 36 of Mark chapter 1. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout Galilee, all Galilee, and casting out demons. Now a leper to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, can you make me clean? And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Each example is different, but certain things are constant. Our Lord's untiring and relentless work to help others. And by doing so, he was preaching. He was not only alleviating the problem for the person, but he was preaching to all those who witnessed the gospel. Do we see the connection in our own works? If we are relentless in helping others, showing care and love and compassion, we are in effect demonstrating the love of the Almighty in our actions, and actions we know are so much stronger than any words that we can use. Fourth example, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. We have the account of the widow of Nain. I'd just like to read a few verses from Luke 7, reading from verse 11. Luke 7, reading from verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, do not weep. And he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still and said to him, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. What was the element that motivated our Lord's compassion? Was it the desire to help someone who had need and was suffering? Was the motivation to be obedient to the Almighty Father? Was the motivation to love one another, to repay the love shown to our Lord by our Father? Was it a conscious acknowledgement of what glory was in store for our Lord that needed to be earned? Was it a drive to preach the gospel through miraculous works, or just a natural kindness? We don't know the answer, but in essence, it was probably a combination of all these things. And finally, the example we'd like to look at this morning, where compassion was asked for, was in our chapter in Mark 9, verse 17, where one, we are told from the crowd, brought his son who had a mute spirit tormented with seizures. Here the man states the disciples could not cure him as he came into the presence of Jesus, and he had a further fit at that time. See the Lord's care. Just like a physician, he asks of the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And the Father answers, and Jesus concludes, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And indeed, our Lord tests the Father, asking him whether he had faith. And only then did Jesus command the illness to be gone from the son. Here we have conditional compassion, or conditional care following compassion, to serve as a critical preaching message to all those that witnessed the miracle. Always, it seems, our Lord was called on to show compassion, not when he was relaxing, but when he was under pressure, surrounded by hundreds or even thousands of folks, and when in contentious situations. How do we react when we are under pressure? Perhaps we are expected to develop our compassion to a point that it becomes programmed, automatic, instinctive, which can be given without due thought, so it becomes a reaction. A challenge for me, certainly, and for others, I suspect. Our Lord specifically taught us to be compassionate. We have a very clear message in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. We have the second commandment, to love our neighbours as ourselves. Who is our neighbour? As the parable clearly states, anyone who is in need. They are our neighbours. And what about us? Do we have a naturally hard and cynical heart? Or do we allow these lessons to permeate ourselves and soften our natural cynicism and hardness? Do we have compassion? Sometimes or all the time? What was our Lord's example? The Lord Almighty also has shown compassion time and again. In Psalm 147 we read, he heals the brokenhearted, he binds up their wounds. In Exodus 34 we read, when in the wilderness he spoke to Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And in the 2 Kings 13 of King Hazael, But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them because of his covenant with Abraham. And finally, in John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. For our memorial hymn, we have chosen to sing hymn number 255. 255. According to thy gracious word, before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn number 255. Brother Alec is going to close our meeting with a word of prayer after we have sung Anthem 43. Anthem 43. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He never will suffer the righteous to fall. Anthem 43.